I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Joe Calley, Owen Parker here on continued coverage of day two of the NHL draft. And that is brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fiegel, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys, and by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods. We are at pick number 180.
Not there yet.
Man, I was good all day. Yeah, I was like, happens. I'm doing NHL draft coverage. NHL, that's tough. Sabres will be back up at 195 overall, so just about 15 picks away from here, and they have been moving along at a pretty good pace. This probably should be wrapped up here, I would say, in probably the next hour or so.
Yeah. Yeah. And my favorite name of the draft has just gone off the board. Love Herrenstam.
Oh, what a name.
What a really good handle. We could honestly do a whole segment on the best names of this draft.
Yes.
There have been some really good ones. But he was another goalie I was interested in. But obviously the Sabres picked up their goalie of the draft at pick 116 mm-hmm. with now the name's escaping me again.
Samuel Meloche.
That's what I was going for. And he is, I mentioned this earlier, I really like his game. I think it's really translatable. Plays with a good technical base, with a solid amount of athleticism behind it that he doesn't rely on, but is there when it's needed. So I really like his game. I think he could translate really well to pro hockey. And goalies are just always a lottery. So pick a guy just about every year. Hope one of them works out once in a while, and you get a guy. So
it's like quarterbacks in the NFL. Just take one.
Yes,
just
it
take
is. One.
Wait,
until you got one.
Yeah. It'll happen at some point. It's going to hit. You know, like
they're super hard to evaluate, but they can be awesome.
So, they can be awesome.
That is just the high sell, high risk, high reward. Yep. Just sell on the potential. That's all it is.
It's exactly what he is.
We got a trade alert.
Oh, come on!
I always love seeing the trade alert stuff.
Tell me it's Marner. I just need this. Come on.
That would be crazy.
It's not going to be. It's going to be some random team trading up into the sixth round, which feels rude.
For a forward.
That's so rude. That's so rude. I feel like you got to be a true sicko as a GM to trade up into the sixth round.
Well, yeah.
Out of the seventh? Is that all it is?
Right. Or you're like, dude, I got to go home. I got to let my dog out. We got to roll.
We got to go.
Oh, it's Utah.
Take a pick. What position are we about to see selected?
What
do you think? I'll go center.
I'll go D. D-line? Not D-line. What am I saying? See, you said the Bills thing, and then here I am.
We're talking about quarterbacks. Yeah. We're all jacked up now. I'm going to go with it's a goalie. I think the goalie
would go with the goalie. That makes sense. Yeah, there we go.
I really hope that's why they traded up. It's like, this goalie, we've been really staring him down for three rounds, ready to rock now.
They traded up just to trade.
I still like my idea that the reason they traded up out of the seventh round was to go home.
I was right. Defenseman.
Wow.
Wrecked. Elenko?
Recto Elenko.
I'm on the weird glare image of the TV over there.
He was a fun guy. He can Rico Elenko.
Rico Elenko. The Penguins. You know those guys? Madagascar?
Oh,
that's what that reminds me of. Rico.
The Penguins are the best. There's always just fun guys that get picked in these rounds. They just showed a graphic of sixth-round picks, one of which being Linus Ullmark for the Sabres. Not to, make everybody sad. But there's always guys that pop in these sixth and seventh round. It's just it's impossible to predict who it's going to be. There's so much variability. These guys are so young. You're never making a surefire selection in these final rounds. Anything after really the third round, you're not. You're not feeling exactly confident about their projection.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the caveat of you can get excited about these guys, but you won't see them for a while, and you're probably not ever going to see them at this point in the draft.
This will be the highlight of their time on your team is, they drafted them, and then never again, never heard from again.
Yeah, most of these names that you hear will be trivia answers at some point.
That's cool.
That created a whole side rant here for a second. But like, when you go buy these sports trivia games, you think, it's going to be like mainstream and all of that, right? Like, stuff you would know. No, it's going to ask when Love Herrenstam was taken in the 2025 NHL draft. What pick number?
And there is
how always, am I supposed to know?
There is always one person at the table that you that like. You it. See their face like light up. They're like, I can't believe it. Right. This trivia answer has come into my life.
It's all about like the guys who know the fun facts, and that would be like a fun fact.
It's a lot of my life is knowing
how many guys
useless
name love?
Historical facts. That's a big part of where my brain power is at, is useless historical facts. Again, we'll yeah. never I called out Sparta yesterday on Twitter. Like, I can't believe I ever got to do that. I'll never do it again, but like I got to do it one time and it's worth it.
It's interesting. I get Derek Kramer with that a lot. Mm-hmm. I told him red dye comes from crushed up like parasites and stuff like that. Like, and he lost it.
He lost it.
Because Capri Sun's releasing like a jug form.
Okay.
That you can pour Whoa. It pour into a 15-inch tall Capri Sun pouch.
Nice.
And then it's red, but it's not red in the pouch.
Year 2025.
You
thought we were gonna have hover boots. No. 15-foot Capri Sun pouch.
Yeah, but red dye. That like I get in those facts I have. I don't have when Love Herrenstam was taken. I don't even remember now. So
I'll have it. So we are at pick 185. We have now actually only got a few more picks, 10, until the Sabres are up at 195. And again, this is what we've been mentioning here for the last, I'd say, about 2 hours. We have a quick conversation. 10 picks go off the board. It's a quick succession now.
Yeah.
And really, it has been becoming paying attention to, you know, the insiders, Friedman, Drager, and those and the likes. To see if a trade is going to come down. I mean, we've got Vegas picking at 86 and 87 here. The thought around them is, are we going to have a Mitch Marner sign-in trade coming up? I wonder, too, if what's holding that back is Marner willing to not actually hit the open market
and
sign with Las Vegas.
That very well could be the reason.
Absolutely. I think as that level of a free agent, you will have every team willing to fly you wherever they want to meet and have a whole presentation. And there's a lot of sort of just pompous sort of
pageantry.
Pageantry. Yeah. Exactly.
It's like when Michael Jordan was trying to sign a shoe deal, right? Yeah. Like they all flew him out and
exactly.
did that. Yeah.
And so there may be a part of him that, however selfish or childish this may be, that doesn't want to miss out on that experience. And I don't know that I want to say that that's wrong.
I'm not going to knock him for that.
Like,
no.
Come on.
He wants to play the field.
You got one chance, and it's so incredibly rare that a guy like that gets to free agency. I mean, you saw it with John Tavares.
Yep.
There was that whole thing was like, where is he going? What's going on? And then he signs in Toronto. It's the biggest story ever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's there's pictures of him in pajamas coming out.
Right.
You know, like you've got all kinds of this sort of excitement around it. And so I think there's a chance he may not want to forego that. And we saw, not that he's going back to Toronto, but we saw a free agent go through that whole process and decide, I'm going to stay in Steven Stamkos when he became a free agent for the Tampa Bay Lightning, however many years ago that was.
There was a lot of hoopla about that.
Right. Yeah. It was. He's fine. Buffalo had a chance. It was all.
Were they on the Sports Illustrated
cover?
Yeah.
And it was, are they going to get Stamkos? He's a 60-goal scorer.
Phenomenal.
This guy's unbelievable. And he did all the come pitch me. Let me hear what you got. And like, what was it, 12 hours into free agency? I'm back in Tampa. That's
yep.
It. And
you said there a lot, too, with college football recruiting. I mean, now the NIL is open and now, you know, teams can do whatever they want. They can give you whatever they want as long as it's legal in, you know, like all 50 states. That's something I think a lot of these guys don't ever get until they've hit this point. Like, I mean, Owen, you've mentioned, like, I mean, your hockey journey, the whole thing. Like, teams aren't, you know, pulling out the red carpet and all that. No. Like,
I mean,
you're just excited if anything happens at all.
Right. I was never a top-end prospect. I mean, I think the highest I was ever drafted was the third round of the North American Hockey League draft, which is, you know, that. Cool.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's an achievement.
But it's not. You're not taking a private jet to a resort and having a billionaire try and convince you to come to his team. It's a very different operation.
Yeah,
where you're lucky to get a phone call from a guy who also is the head coach.
Right.
So, you know.
With college football, though, now, like, you're seeing that. I mean, like, I joke now. I mean, I'm a Longhorns fan, but, like, Texas has a Lamborghini, like, lot right off campus.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
They just walk you past it, get you in there.
Drove past it when I went down to Austin. It was weird.
That had to be funky.
You're like, why is this here? Like, this is great. We're going to win a national championship in at least 5 years. But, like, this feels off. And, like, now I'm more comfortable in it because I've always wanted players to get paid. But, like, yeah, like, you're seeing those 16, 17-year-old kids really get the full treatment. You know, Mitch Marner's 27. And up to this point, I mean, like, he was a high draft pick. Don't get me wrong. Like, he had this. But I think you're right. Like, you know, for however childish or however selfish, it doesn't matter. Like, there are going to be people that are like, I want to feel loved.
Yeah.
I want to experience the whole, like, oh, I'm the hot commodity on the market.
Yes.
And right. I'm going to get generational wealth and I'm going to be wined and dined the whole thing. I didn't think it would be a big reason why, outside of we saw Nicholas Waugh might be part of the deal.
Right.
Nothing come of it yet is because I think Marner might be sitting there going like, look, I'd love to come to Vegas. I'd love to check you guys out. But I'd also love to check out LA.
Yeah.
I'd like to also check out some of these other teams.
Why would I close off? Like, yeah. Why would I close off all my options 2 days before they all open up? Right. Like why would you do that?
That it's a very valid point. And I think that if they want to get that done, Vegas, they're going to need to overpay them a little bit. And so that may be the thing that just puts it over the top. It could be that Marner's already made up his mind he wants to go to Vegas. So there's a million possibilities. Nobody knows what he's thinking truly. But
it's just business at the end of the day. Right. No matter what he decides to do, he is his own business. Like he's his own boss at the end of the day. He's got to do what's best for him. And if that's testing the field and seeing how much you can create a bidding war over yourself, why not?
It's a good...
Yes.
I mean, put yourself in his shoes. Mm-hmm. Anybody out there listening, us right now. Imagine that you're on a contract at work. A, that'd be awesome. B,
that would be phenomenal.
What it would feel like when your contract's up, when you know every company in your field is going to try and pay you more than you've ever thought about making, and everybody wants to tell you how much they love you.
And
you want to do that.
And that's also coming off of your own current job kind of not treating you the best.
Right.
And I'm saying that more with Marner, the fans. It's been a very volatile situation.
Right. And yeah, you want – it feels good. He's a human being, guys. It's the kind of thing that we get so detached from these sports figures that we all follow and cover. And it makes sense why. They feel like bigger than life figures, and they're on TV and all this stuff. But they are just the same as us. They're human beings. They want to feel good. They want to feel appreciated.
And that's what we said during the whole James Cook conversation.
Right.
Not to just tie it into something else. Yeah. Him looking for that money is him looking for a raise. You going to your boss and asking for a raise.
Right.
Yeah. Right? Like anything like that. It's human. It's human. Exactly what you said, Owen.
Man, now I don't want to see the trade happen.
I want to see where he goes in free agency. I'm actually really intrigued by that. I'm not going to lie.
Now I'm sitting here going like, oh, well, no, wait. I want to see him like go through this whole process. Yeah. And I want to see what teams like pony up and like see what happens. I also, too, like we didn't mention either, a few years ago, we also had a major free agent hit the market in Johnny Gaudreau.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was like the guy. And then stunningly, he goes to Columbus. I've mentioned a few times, like, Columbus was never brought up. It was like Philadelphia, New Jersey, the Islanders. Like, that was it. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, boom, Columbus comes in. I'd love to see, like, a random team also. It could, of course, be Buffalo. I doubt it will be. But there could be, like, a random team that goes, hey, hi, over here, we're going to pony up. Like, we're going to give you $12 million a year, and we've got this young core maybe that's building up. Like, you should come here and be, like, that final piece that helps us rise from the ashes.
Yeah, you sent Josh Allen, like, to go do the pitch. He's in. He's been to Highmark. Just get him to come down there.
That'll be part of the wine and dine right there.
Yes. That's the pitch that we've been saying for 3 months, and we've not gone anywhere with that.
We've not gone anywhere, but, you know, well, maybe. I do think he is going to go out west, though. I think there's a real chance that he is going to want to get as far away from Toronto as literally humanly possible.
Yeah, it's certainly possible. I mean,
I have to ask, as the Sabres 195 is approaching around 192, the Stanley Cup champions are on the clock. Byram. Yesterday, your show with Derek Kramer, when I was producing, a lot of these calls were coming in saying, Byram should stay because you're just going to let him. I mean, we've talked about it a little bit today, but it's been more of what could we see Byram getting traded for? Now, what if he does stay? You just keep him up there with Dahlin.
Your blue line looks awesome.
That's my problem with it, though. He only works with Dahlin.
Right, and that is the problem. But he's got one more year, right?
No, he's an RFA.
Yeah. RFA.
Yeah. RFA.
So
if you keep him, you're not giving him just the qualifying offer. You're gonna sign him to at least some kind of deal,
like a bridge or something like that,
maybe,
a smaller contract. Yeah. But see, like that's where I get getting rid of him. But also, if he stays and you just play him with Dahlin,
It works.
Like that. Paul Hamilton said that a little bit earlier too. But I don't know. How feasible is that? Like getting rid of him or keeping him? Because we still don't know. We've heard the reports of market's hot, market's cold. We don't know.
And the interesting thing about Byram is it sounds to me like he doesn't necessarily hate the team, hate the city, hate anything other than not being a number one defenseman on a power play or something like that.
Mm-hmm. It seems to be like the thing.
Does there come a point where he realizes maybe that's not me?
You mentioned
they're all humans.
Exactly. And if you can, and I'm not saying I don't think he can do it. He's talented. He can skate. He can move the puck. But he's never, to me, transcended above needing somebody to play with him.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to be that kind of guy, you need to do that.
Yeah.
And you need to be more well-rounded than he is.
Mm-hmm.
And how much better is he going to get at this point in his career? He's not a young player anymore. He's not old, but he's not some up-and-comer.
He's not 20.
Is there some part of him that may come to the realization, maybe I'm not the number one D I wish I could be, so how can I maximize my career? Mm-hmm. I think you're going to have a hard time finding somebody better than Rasmus Dahlin to play with
exactly
for the next however many years.
Mm-hmm.
And if you already work so well with them and you don't mind where you're at, and maybe you've seen the team make some moves that you don't hate,
why not?
Where am I going?
Yeah, why not?
Come on.
The grass isn't always greener on the other side.
And
yeah.
So, I don't know that he will get to that. This year, maybe you sign him to a 1 or 2 year deal and let him just sort of play and figure that out. Either he does become that and you trade him and you get even more value. Great. Or he realizes, I'm okay with this.
This is working for me.
And stays and becomes a long-term partner for Rasmus Dahlin in a pairing that we have seen work really well.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so I question if he could ever get to, all right, I'm going to accept what I believe to be my reality here and kind of get through it. And, mm-hmm. and that's a big point of wonder for me.
Right.
Sabres make their selection at 195. It is a left winger, Melvin Novotny. All right.
Yes. All right. Let me find him in here, and I will have you.
So we got it.
For that one. Do you guys remember that guy, Yuri Novotny?
I recognize the last name.
I do too.
I want to say he was a 2008 or 2009 Saber. He was around that era.
Okay.
All right. So Novotny, another forward, plays both center and the wing. 6'1", 187, about the same size as the other centermen we've seen them mm-hmm. take today. He's a very high IQ player. That's his best attribute. He's just a cerebral tactician. He knows how to use his teammates. He knows how to use his own spacing. He gets into favorable sort of soft areas in the O zone. He covers up those same areas in the D zone. Another one of these sort of well-rounded, nice, even-keeled guys.
Yeah.
Not uber skilled, not huge,
uh-huh.
not anything specific, but can play a role, I think, in wherever he goes. And another guy I'm reading here, ranked 80th, 68th, 41st in Europe.
Oh, they grab him at 195. Look at that. Yeah.
But then you got him at 199. This is the kind of thing that I'm talking about with this draft. The majority of it, he's got below, sort of, he's ranked into the hundreds. And then mm-hmm. some guys have him at 60. So you've got a big variance on what people think these guys can all be. He played his hockey last year in the Swedish Junior League. He had 41 games, 12 goals, 26 assists for 38 points. Nothing poppy, but almost a point per game in that under 20 National Junior League for Sweden. Makes a lot of nice plays with the puck. I did notice he's got some flash passing it. He can really.
They just showed some of his highlights.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. All right. You could see it.
For context, everyone, I'm facing away from the TV in here, and these two guys are up there watching it. I guess I am apparently.
We're letting you
narrating.
Break it down while we take it in.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So it's pretty glad to hear my analysis of his film is on par with what they're showing.
Yes.
Up
Chicago now at 197. And as we mentioned for about the last hour here, their seventh round pick's a bit of a quick turnaround here. They picked at 195. They'll pick now at 199. Or, I mean, of course, they could also trade out of it. Don't anticipate it. But, you know.
Let's trade back into the
seventh, I don't want to say definitively they're going to pick at 199. We never know. But, yes, all right. So, I mean, it does seem like they're adding kind of best player available. What's the value on their board? I will literally never be against that in almost any draft outside of like NFL. You need a quarterback, go get the quarterback. And then after that, it becomes very quickly value-based, and I am more than okay with that. We'll, of course, stick here until the Sabres pick at 199, and then they'll just have one more pick to round out today, 219. So a little bit longer of a wait, but as we've seen in these later rounds, it has flown by. You can't really leave your TV to take a bathroom break or get a snack.
It's turning and burning.
You'll miss like four picks.
Yeah. Honestly, as it's decentralized, like we've been saying all day, we were worried about it. This has moved.
Yeah, not bad by any means. Not bad by any means.
And the last round's only going to go faster, so and it's already going. So it's just been hopeless or hopefully optimistic. Not hopelessly optimistic. Don't want to go there. But there is some there's optimism around this organization right now, and I'm not saying that can't die within 24 hours or 48 hours, but right now with the moves they made and. It's a better spot than we started. Let's just say that.
That is my fear, too. You bring that up. I mean, like, it could change in 24 hours. Like, that's really what this week has been for the Sabres.
It's been so hot and cold.
It's been tough to, get a read on them.
Right. I got frustrated yesterday on the air with Joe. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't, you know, don't let me get hot now. They still definitely need to add a top six forward two.
Mm-hmm.
But everything they have done today has been encouraging, and I really like this Novotny pick. He slid far down the board for this for them, and just a really nice toolkit to have. And that's another guy, like it's the second guy today I've seen fall significantly from where I've seen them rated to come to the Sabres at a nice position.
Yeah, and Hockey Joe Marino, I just saw this too. He said next year he's going to be in the USHL for Muskegon. So no worries,
coming
go.
Over. Yeah, coming over from Sweden, so he'll be in the U.S. That's always nice.
And I was going to say, like, that's something, especially in these sports, you know, soccer, I see this a lot, too.
Yes,
where, you know, that's a big talking point whenever the transfer – not the transfer portal, the transfer window opens up is that, you know, you want to get these guys, I mean, 16, 17-year-old kids coming over from South America to, like, London, like, you hope they can –
Adjust.
Right.
Yeah.
With this, it's one of those things too. Is the Sabres? You got to feel good. Like, okay, he's coming over to the States.
Right.
Like, you know, he'll be able to kind of do the transition there instead of he's coming over to the States right into the Sabres lineup, and you're hoping and praying like, I hope we've got the right guys around you to get you
throwing him at the wall and see if he sticks at that point. Like the rest of these picks.
I know that's a big thing with a lot of Russian players. Like, there's always kind of the hope that you have another veteran Russian on. You know, either on the roster, in the organization.
Can help shepherd.
Yeah. Right. And so that's always a little bit of a worry.
Yeah. And like Owen's been saying, the Russian players, you have no tape on.
Right. There you go.
So you're legitimately gambling everything on a Russian player. So.
Right. And yeah, I mean, they've got, you know, they're coming up at 199 here and then 219, and that'll wrap up for them. But they've added some nice pieces in this draft. A couple guys fell to him that I've really liked. I think maybe a sort of a bigger, heavier forward late here would be nice. But they've accomplished a lot here today, I think, in terms of adding to their prospect pool and to their decor with the Timmins trade. I mean, it's exciting.
Yeah, we spent about an hour on that trade too, but like that was something that kind of got the day going, and a lot of us were pretty excited. I mean, I said this a lot with Dylan Cousins when he was getting ready to get traded, or that was kind of the rumblings were going there. Sort of it became a net positive just to remove that player from the roster.
Right.
I think Clifton's sort of the same thing, removing that $3.3 million per year
you wanted contract to dump Clifton
off the roster.
Absolutely.
And right before that, we had talked to Paul and talking about the right shot defenseman. He was like, well, we got to prepare in 2 years when Clifton's off the roster.
Right.
20 minutes later, he's gone. And here we go. And yeah, I mean, they've really retooled that blue line. Has been, if you're going to walk away with a positive from what the Sabres have done in the last 4 or 5 days, it has been they've really retooled the blue line. And they've allowed it to where if you do trade a Bowen Byram, and Joe, you mentioned it yesterday, we took a number of calls from people who did maybe want to keep him.
Mm-hmm.
It at least has allowed you to look at it and go, well, might be a bit of a luxury, and a luxury that can only really play with Rasmus Dahlin. And we do have a need at the top six forward. Maybe we can get that done. I'll always be until he's either traded and it's not the player, or until it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I'll always kind of want them to get involved in the Jordan Kyrou maybe sweepstakes. Oh, absolutely. If
you could get rid of Byram, unload Byram and a few prospects and end up with a player like Kyrou.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, yeah.
Not to be dramatic here, if they get their hands on Kyrou after everything they've done with the D-Core, I will...
Oh, boy.
I will be expecting them to be a serious, serious player next year.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I don't think we mentioned that around the air or it was during the break, but like that was the thing, too, is like expectations might be playoffs now just because it's been year – now this is off-season six for Adams. Like, you should be. And also, guys, we're in the middle of a historic playoff draw. Like, you
got to do it.
You got to do it. But if they were to get Kyrou, and you mentioned, and then retool the D-Core, and maybe even add another top six forward there, too.
Playoffs at worst.
You're right. Like, the expectation does become like – oh, no, like if you guys start slow, heads need to roll immediately.
Right. And
they will at that point. Right. Yeah, listen, it's year six with this regime, all right? Yeah. Like heads will roll early if they do that, and that doesn't happen.
You know, incredible that it's lasted this long with them. But if they're able to finally find their way to an identity and a consistent level of this is what we look like as a team, mm-hmm. this is how we win, this is Sabres hockey – if you can get that done, mm-hmm. you've got a lot of room to get up and get people excited.
I think especially too, like you mentioned, get people excited. This is a market that like everyone, even now, like some of these prospects who are born in 2007, they don't remember because they weren't alive yet. Some of the best years of the recent Sabres, and I'm saying recent, I'm being very loose with that term.
Recent, more like our entire childhood.
But there is still like just. If you're a hockey person, you know, oh, Buffalo gets up for it.
Right.
Like, that is a market I think the NHL really wants to be able to milk during the playoffs.
It's a hockey city at its base. It's really football right now. It's football coded, don't get me wrong. But it's because the performance of the on-ice product
has been what it has been.
It's abysmal, right?
It is funny, too. I mean, we just passed the 10-year anniversary of the Jack Eichel draft. And if you remember that night, and Joe, I don't know how much you remember it. Oh, I don't know how much you remember it.
I mean, ten years? Yeah. Vaguely.
I remember getting out of work and my dad being like, all right, you want to go to the draft party at the arena? And we're like, yeah.
Of course.
All I'm hearing all day is that they might make this big trade for somebody. Like, let's go. And then
developmental camp was sold out.
Developmental camp was a joy.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
It was a joy. I mean, really, it was.
People want to love this team. And they want to root for this team and be excited about this team.
People call us, tweet at us.
Yeah.
The team, 14-year playoff draw, we're still able to talk to people about them. Yeah. That tells you everything you need to know.
That tells you everything. And it was just, you know, funny enough, like, 10 years ago. Like, we're at a point now, the Bills have been good for a very long time. They have. We're already talking about Josh Allen legacy type stuff. But you remember 2015? That's you're in the gutter of the Bills drought. There does not look to be an end in sight. They ultimately do end it 2 years later, but it is kind of a miraculous season, a negative point differential. It takes the Bengals helping you out there at the end.
Right.
That was a moment, though. Like, that Andy Dalton. Yeah. But that's his legacy now. Not even for the Bengals. It's getting the Bills to the playoffs. But you look
10 years ago, it was the Sabres vibes. And, and that drought was not that long. It was 4 years.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, my, we're getting Eichel. Ryan O'Reilly's here. Right. We traded for Evander Kane. Like, and you already had Reinhardt who was coming. Like the vibes around the Sabres, it's almost hard to remember how it felt then.
Yeah.
But, baby, it felt alive.
That roster.
And it felt fun.
That roster had no excuse to not be good. Like, it genuinely didn't. Like, that was, looking back on it, and all these players now with their cups, their playoff appearances, what were we doing? What happened?
What we were doing is we were living. I mean,
well, I think most
of us saw that and were thinking, like, here we go. I mean, here was the pain, here was the suffering, it didn't matter. I mean, man, I mean, you just even remember, like, after the lottery, or even maybe even before, you know, Jack Eichel a little inebriated while at the University of Boston, and he said, Buffalo, I'm coming for you. I mean, yeah. I remember that happening. I'm a junior, sophomore in high school.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
You're getting the goosies going on, going like, dude.
That's the last NHL game I played.
This is the U.S. hockey guy coming. Oh, my gosh.
Right.
But that was huge.
But, I mean, it's 10 years ago, and here we are. But, Owen, to your point, like, maybe we are starting to see where, like, there's an identity. I know a lot of listeners bring up the word, like, the Sabres got to build a culture and stuff like that. And we do have pick number 199. Oh, it is a goaltender.
Another goaltender.
Yevgeny.
That, I got. We both got that.
You get to the last name, and then it's a pause.
It is a tough. I'm telling you guys, like, this is why I listen to audiobooks first for certain authors and certain genres, and then we get the paperback. I need to know how to say people's names.
Yeah, at least we got Yevgeny.
Yeah, we've got Yevgeny. So yeah, two goalies now. But yeah, real quick to wrap up this point is just like, you know, maybe they are finally building an identity here, and maybe took a little while to get there, but it's one of those things. I don't really care how dinner's made. Just show me the meal kind
feed
of deal.
Me. Yeah, feed me. Yeah.
Just get me there. And we say, too, like, look, this fan base maybe never turns around with Adams. And maybe we don't either. But if they make the playoffs, I kind of stop caring. And I'm just locked in with the team.
Right.
803-0550, the number to call. Now they've picked at 199. We've got till 219 till they're back at it. So we're going to take a quick time out here. You're listening to Day 2's continued coverage of the NHL Draft on WGR. Joe Cali, Owen Parker. We've been with you literally all day.
It hasn't felt like it.
No.
11 a.m. till now?
I know.
You're being kind. We were all here like 10.
Yeah, right. We were on air at 11.
We were here at 10.
Yeah.
I had to eat my breakfast sandwich. You know.
I've got my yogurt parfait sitting next to me.
See, that's definitely a better choice.
That's a high-end athlete. I like kind of swam in college, all right? Come on.
A former high-end athlete.
I heard stretching for an hour for 11 day and went, hey guys, that's a bit long, right?
That's also because I don't want to break my body so I can't golf anymore.
Yeah.
Really is why I did that.
I had a real problem at a family gathering, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We were playing wiffle ball. But I've been golfing so much, my baseball swing, gone. Mm, like, yeah. I was underneath everything. Yeah. Like, I was foul tipping everything.
Mm. And you're just looking at yourself like, I'm not this bad. Sucks. Like, come on.
My four-year-old sister was hitting.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, I can't even do this.
Just
over
you?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I can't even do this. Like,
that's one of those things, too. You can't text the friends right away. You're not going to word it right. They're just going to make fun of you.
Yeah.
They're just going to make fun of you.
I mean, everyone can hear that. I mean, I just outed myself.
But you're like, no, I've been golfing too much. My golf swing's screwing it up.
I mean, I'd rather it be that way because I play wiffle ball a lot less than I actually go out to the range and play golf. Yeah, so.
I know my dad played baseball at a pretty high level when he was younger, and he was like, we all used to get furious at the guys who would go golfing
right.
the day of and then go play a game. He's like, great, you're going to go 0 for 4, thanks. Yeah. we really needed you in the four hole today, bud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Just quickly on the Sabres' last pick, goaltender Yevgeny mm-hmm. Prokhorov. He's Belarusian, played in the MHL last year. That's the junior league in Russia. For Dynamo Shinik Bobruisk, played 28 games, 903 save percentage, 219 goals against, 6'3", 172. Pretty light. I would imagine that's a pretty wiry frame that they would look to have him add a little weight onto. Pretty unknown guy, not somebody that was on a lot of boards.
Mm-hmm.
But that must mean that they've got a key in on him. And that happens, you know. You want to talk about how tough it is for anybody to get picked at this point. Goalies, it's just, you like somebody, you take a flyer. And
if your goalie scout goes, I kind of like him, sick.
Right, awesome.
Yeah.
We'll take him.
Yep.
And so this is kind of what that is. Real late, almost 200th overall in the draft, just trying to get another name in the body in the system. And you can never have too many of these guys.
Right. 100%.
You're just taking flyers. Hopefully somebody hits. You know, Devin Levi was whatever, a sixth round pick.
Right.
So,
and then he went to college and everyone went, oh, well, never mind.
Exactly. So this guy could come over to North America next year and tear it up.
Who knows?
And, what do you know?
And you've mentioned it too. A lot of these Russian players, it can be really hard to get any tape
Super
on them.
Super tough.
So it very quickly becomes like, do you have an in on that league that's like, hey, I've seen this guy twice. Like, we're right. Yeah, this guy's pretty good.
Right. So, yeah, just a little bit of info there on him. Not a ton of film on him, so we'll keep an eye out.
It's kind of interesting with that, though. I feel like taking a chance on some of these Russian guys has to be interesting as a general manager and as a front office staff.
It's because my favorite thing of the NHL draft.
You can kind of just be like, you know what?
Yeah.
Let's bring him in. Let's see if it happens.
Yeah.
And then he might blow your mind. You have no idea.
I get genuinely excited when, like, a fifth to, like, seventh round pick gets taken, and you'll have a reporter go, don't know if they're leaving the KHL, don't know if they're, and I'm like, so he's awesome.
Right.
We just do not know if we'll ever see him. And it sounds ridiculous, but I get excited because it's like, that's where you find the gems.
Yeah.
That's where it happens.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like, that's how it goes. I know Detroit, years ago when they were winning their cups in the early 2000s when they had that next wave of guys, it was a lot of just like, they nailed the scouting.
Yeah. Datsyuk was a late round pick.
Yep.
There were tons of that. And, you know, you can really bolster an organization with a couple of late picks that really pan out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Brandon Hagel was a seventh or sixth round pick for the
for the Lightning. I was going to make the joke of like another forgotten guy.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, that these guys, they're out there. You just got to find them. And it's not a matter of whether you do enough work to figure it out. It's just whether they develop the way you hope they can.
Yeah, absolutely. It is now pick 210 with San Jose. The Sabres next up at 219. So as we've mentioned a few times, it has been churning out very, very quickly from here. So we'll see what happens here. I mean, Owen, I mean, you kind of mentioned too, like, just kind of take maybe a power forward kind of deal here.
Yeah.
Just see what you can get.
At this point, you're just looking to fill. Either your scout has somebody that really likes, or you're looking to fill a role that you don't have in the pipeline yet. I think the Sabres could use some more bullish forwards. Somebody real, maybe sort of in the Alex Tuch mold, tall, powerful skater, that kind of thing. Would love to see that here at 219, but obviously they could love a puck-moving defenseman or a playmaker or whatever. It's just whatever. It's dealer's choice here. It's what does Kevin Adams and his staff think has the best chance to be one of those lottery picks that ends up paying off?
We'll see what happens. We are now on pick 211.
It's going to move to 219.
Quick.
That's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm hoping for. Because now, I mean, we've hit the point. We're not getting, it appears, the Mitch Marner trade, at least while we're going to be on air.
Right.
That has really cooled off from where it felt like four or five reporters all at once were like, it might happen. Okay, here's a guy that might go. And now nothing.
Like you said, it probably was close. And then he's like, I might actually want to test free agency.
Yeah, right.
Like that legitimately might be what happened.
We'll see. We will see on that. I do want him to hit the open market just because I kind of want to see what that bidding war could become. Because, yes, the cap is going up, but there is that feeling of like, man, if you pay him like $13, $14 million, and let's say for argument's sake, the playoff struggles is actually a thing. And, and it's not just Toronto. It's not just that it's in his head, but that it's like, oh, no, he's just not a very good playoff performer.
Right.
That quickly becomes an albatross of a contract to people going like, great, he's really good in the regular season, but like now we've brought the Toronto issues to a certain extent, right? It's one guy of like the core four or five there.
I struggle to think that there's much of a true Mitch Marner playoff issue as maybe some other people do. He's just such a talented player. And he hasn't been horrific for them. and so, you know, you just got to hope that – or not hope. You got to think if you're an organization like Vegas that if you can get him out of where he's had those struggles, he can overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
He's physically gifted enough to overcome all of that. He just is. Doesn't matter that he's a little smaller or a little lighter. He's great. Mm-hmm. So it's not about whether he's got the ability to do it. He's just got to go do it. And I think that almost any organization outside of Toronto should have the confidence to say, yeah, we can get that out of him because he's a great player. And you don't come across players that great very often. And they almost always find a way to perform in those moments.
Yeah. Now it's just it's and that's the thing too. I mean, like it specifically a team like Las Vegas who is
right.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
regularly had playoff successes. You got to imagine just spending a full regular season and with that kind of group is going to get you to a point of like, okay, like I got it. Like I can just play my game, be good, what have you. Like Florida now has that feeling of like they bring in anybody.
Oh, yeah.
The guy they bring in is just going to figure it out.
They've got their base now to just plug anybody in at that point.
I did see a report from Darren Drager on those NFL or NHL rumor reports that Marchand might be the top target for Toronto's free agency plans if he doesn't go back to Florida. That feels like a guy that like they maybe need to get to fix their woes in the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, he fit Florida like a glove, but like he's been a monster to Toronto specifically with Boston and actually with Florida as well. So that could be something that maybe Toronto wants to do as well, just to try to fix anything with the current group they have. They're losing Marner, but they're in such a weird spot of like, what do you actually do with this group?
I mean, Marchand said that Florida was doubted from the beginning, and now he can be doubted from the beginning with
he can
Toronto.
Do it all over
so
again.
He can actually live that instead of saying it when it's the Florida Panthers.
Right. Going to take a quick timeout here. When we come back, we'll hopefully have the Sabres on the clock ready to make their final pick of the 2025 NHL Draft. Zach Jones, Joe Calley, Owen Parker hanging with you here all day on day two coverage of the NHL Draft. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, and now just Owen Parker. Joe Calley had to step out. We have been here all day. We do have lives outside of the station, which to
believe
some people
not.
May actually be surprising. I know some people will see my hours and be like, Zach, go home. And I'll be like, I do. When it's dark out, I get there.
Yeah,
I get
of
home.
Course. I mean,
we're hanging
figure it out.
What's nice, though, is we're hanging out. We don't got too much left here. We're on pick 215, excuse me.
There we go.
And the Sabres are up at 219. And then we are expected to hear from Sabres general manager Kevin Adams pretty quickly after that last pick goes in, which also is signaling to me, let's not expect a big trade here right again.
Right, right.
And that's, you know, again, that's probably more wishful thinking than anything. But I guess, Owen, now here, just kind of like to wrap things up a little bit. Like, what have your feelings been the last few days? We've talked a lot about it.
Yeah, I mean, I find myself cautiously excited about what they've done here. I think the draft went well. I think they've added some interesting pieces. I mean, Bedkowski and Mirka both are just super interesting. A couple years away, but man, if they both could hit and you've got a pair of 6'6" defensemen that love to do nothing more than bang people around, you're going to be an intimidating team to play against. Mm-hmm. And that's awesome. And so I really like those picks. I think the forwards that they've selected today are well-rounded. They've got some upside. I like the goalie. I think that, well, both the goalies, really. I haven't seen a ton of the most recent pick in Prokhorov, but I think they've added good value. The trade this morning with the first pick, 39 overall, for Timmins and Béliveau is, I think, a really nice move.
It's not earth-shattering, but it's nice.
Right, but it's analytically very savvy. Mm-hmm. You get out from under that Clifton contract, and you add a depth piece to Rochester in Béliveau and a middle or bottom pairing, puck-moving, big, fast defenseman. And that's not a bad thing at all.
Right.
You're happy to see that. So I think really what I keep getting back to is just – the top six needs a move or two.
Because I think right now, if things were to stay like this, I think it's a little bit foolish to say playoffs, right? If all of a sudden it's just like maybe like they are able to add like a Brian Rust guy after his trade clause expires, it's not looking great. But it looks better. The problem is they did create that hole now that they already had a top six forward. Now it's two guys.
Yeah. And we've talked about ideas like Kyrou and, you know, Jason Robertson's been out there. These are big splash moves. I don't want to say be stunned, but I wouldn't expect them to make one of these enormous sort of seismic shift moves. But I would like to see them go after a good top six facilitator or scorer to replace what Paterka brought you. And I think if you're able to do that and you get a similar offensive output and the defense changes you've made lead to the puck being out of your net a little more often, leads to a few more wins, and you're right on the cusp of it. And where do you go from there? I think it's all up in the air. So I'm excited. I think the fan base should feel a little better about their decor, absolutely, and a little bit maybe more confident that they really are feeling it and that they want to get better and make those changes. I think the real indicator of that, again, is just that top six move.
Yep, and that's going to be the key one there. And also could come in free agency. We know a guy like Nikola Ehlers is expected to hit the open market, not just go right back to Winnipeg. So that could absolutely be something that the Sabres could do. We do know Adams, at least based off reports, wanted to try to go get him last year, just couldn't get it done. It seems to be more no trade clause, not waived. Let's see if we can maybe convince him in free agency. Might be a little bit of an overpay, but right. I think most Sabres fans actually be happy to see you spending near the cap.
Oh, I mean, yeah, so, come on.
May not be the worst thing in the world. But yeah, it is just it's tough to wrap my arms around the organization as a whole, around especially I think the front office, especially when most of us agree, you know, a sixth off season and not making the playoffs once doesn't really signal a huge amount of confidence from anybody, right. And it shouldn't.
No.
And I've also said too, and not to disrespect anyone in the building, but you can make the playoffs, you can be a pretty darn good team and still have a bad front office and a bad ownership.
Right.
I mean, like you could. It's tough. I mean, it's not perfect, but they can get there. And I've said a lot too with the Bills especially. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than right.
Yeah.
The Bills initially started with Terry Pegula of hiring Rex Ryan and Rob Reiner as their D coordinator. And then they fell into Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. And ultimately, I think they really did luck out in getting Josh Allen. I'm still convinced they were all Darnold guys. And then he went three to the Jets. And they had to, quote-unquote, settle for their second choice in Allen. And ultimately, it absolutely worked out. And I think they had hopes for him, but maybe not to what he'd become.
I mean, even if you thought that Allen would be what he is, you've still got lucky that he turned out that way.
I think.
And I don't want to say that they're lucky they made that pick necessarily, but I think that they got an awesome result on it, and you can't control that. So what are you going to do? And I think that that's connected here, and can the Sabres find their break? And you know, that we'll find out when the season rolls around. We're not going to know for a while here, right?
And that's a frustrating
thing.
I talked with Derek Kramer about that on the Extra Point Show. Like, I think really what's maybe bad and somewhat painful for a lot of Sabres fans to deal with, and I'm not disparaging anyone. I sit there too, and while I can't totally wrap my arms around them or really any of these moves, I could like them, but I'm still like kind of at arm's length a little bit, is because man, they've done good analytical moves that everyone gets excited about, and then they burn to the ground and they go poorly or it's a bad coaching fit and stuff like that where, you know, very quickly it ends. And so it's hard to get super excited about them because they've proven time and time again it doesn't work. They don't get the break they wanted.
They've earned that skepticism.
Yes.
And I think that's completely valid from fans, from media, from whoever. I think you can't argue with the fact that there's good reason for the feelings that many have about this team. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't hope.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that you shouldn't be happy that they drafted some of the guys they drafted today or be happy about the trade that they made today. You don't have to be mad or upset all the time about them. You're allowed to feel good things about them if they earn that.
Yeah.
And I think they've earned the people being skeptical and they've earned the commentary being harsh. But you've also got to give them the opportunity to earn it right back and earn the praise.
Yep.
And I think that we've seen a little bit of momentum, at least in my mind, in the right way for them. And I know many of you out there may think that sounds completely insane because of how much they've put us all through and what they've done and their history as a team. But nothing is static, and you've got to be able to adapt.
All right, the Sabres make their final pick of the draft at 219, another center, Ryan Rusinski. Owen, if you have anything on him, I'd be really impressed.
I actually believe he is in here.
Oh, let's go. I am so excited.
Now, give me a second to flip through.
All right. I'm so excited if you have anything on him. I like the name.
Yes, I do. I do. Okay, here we go. Look at us go. 5'10", 176 pounds. Forward, plays both center and wing. got a lot of really good detail. It's versatile. I think this really fits in with a theme that they've drafted today. Going. A lot of guys that play both center and wing. Versatile player. He's got a really, really nice release off the rush with his shot. He's really dangerous. He's good on the power play, and he's got some nice, nice hands. He's interesting player. I like the pickup here this late. So, yeah.
All right. Giddy up. Last pick of the draft, Ryan Rusinski. With that, we're going to take a quick timeout here, and then we're going to listen back, or we're going to listen to live Sabres general manager Kevin Adams coming up here on WGR.
I'm Dr. Hrini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.